Hi, dear friend. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the program where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. This is the program where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. Welcome to our dear friends. I am Finne Power, and I'm currently ministering in the Southeast with Fabiano, who's my co-host today. And we're just really grateful for the opportunity that we have to come together and to speak about things that pertain even just to this week. And so, just this previous Monday, we actually had, Brenton and Will actually answer a question called, "Should I celebrate Christmas or is it pagan?" A lot of people asking that question, hey. And so they answered that question on Monday, and just this Tuesday we also had Ricardo and Marty look at the question, does the Old Testament really foretell Jesus Christ? And on Wednesday we had Ricardo and David answer the big question, is Jesus just a myth like Santa? Wow. And so, today, we'll be diving into our question, which I think, is probably one of the most difficult one out of the all. But Fabiana, I know that you have the tools in your bag, to share God with the people. Because this week we're actually been going over the theme, the season that we're kind of living in, a lot of people are they're celebrating, and it's kind of like a very joyous occasion when it comes towards December, because I think many kids have just finished school and they're looking to go on holiday, and I think it's probably the first time, Fabiana, that you can go to the shop and you can sing the songs for the first time.
For the first time, if you go in Kohl's, Woolies, Bunnings, everywhere you go, it's all about, Christmas, and you've got the trees, the Santa Claus, and the deers, is that what you call them? You've got some Christmas carols that are, pumping through the speakers.
Yeah.
And how I pray that actually people would get to know Jesus on a personal level, because Jesus is not only a person who needs to be remembered once a year. I believe, he's one that, you should have on a pretty much on a daily basis. Every single day, Jesus should be your companion, and you find him to be a friend and one that can transform your life, because he is God. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Fabiana. And you also see even on houses, hey, they have the lights on the houses.
Oh, yes.
And Jesus wants to be the light of the world, not just the light of your house, but he wants you to walk by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm reminded of Psalms 119, 105, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Friends, I just want to make a quick shout out, because I know that my friends are listening from school. I want to make a shout out to Ashton, Xavier, Xander, Sophie, and Meg. I get the privilege to teach this class.
That's great.
At school, and they said to make a shout out, and so I'm making a shout out to you. If you're listening in, continue to practice. Practice those guitar chords I taught you, and I hope you can tune in and you can download the Faith FM app. Hey, look, friends, if you're listening in, whether you're on the road, driving home from work now, or just kind of tuning in from our past programs as well, we encourage you, please download the Faith FM app, and also stay tuned, because we also have a free giveaway that we usually give out to our listeners. But all you have to do is actually text in, and so please stay tuned with us. We'll definitely let you know the code word and also the number, which is 0488-80811. And even if you're listening in a foreign place, maybe you would like to text in and want to engage with us, we're more than welcome to accept that dialogue as well. And even if you have questions, hey, we're here to help. And so, look, friends, our theme for this week is entitled, "What is Christmas all about?" A lot of people ask that question. However, the topic this week is, "Can I accept a virgin birth?" Wow.
big question.
Oh yeah.
And only for the big dogs. So Fabiana, you're in the hot seat, brother. You're in the hot seat. And so but yeah, look, my co-host Fabiano, he's a man of God, lovely man. He loves the Lord, and he's going to, by God's grace, answer this question today. But friends, usually what we like to do before we begin is actually look at what's happening in the news. And Fabiana, I found this very interesting news article here, and it's entitled, before I go to the title of the lesson, you know, Fabiano, when you grew up, like, have you ever wanted a pet? No, Fabiana, I asked that question intentionally. Oh,
you're testing me right now, because, oh, brother. Hey, now, for those who are listening, hey, I guess, yeah, I mean, if you don't know much about me, but all I can say is that, you know, we were not raised with pets. So I think that answers the question. Just in case you're wondering, I think, friends, I love them from a distance.
Yes.
you know what my mom always say?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I shouldn't say this because this may offend some pet loving people, but hey, let me just say that, she has an interesting way of, responding to the pet question. Mm-hmm. She talks about what's going to happen, in the future in heaven, as in like, who is going to be translated to heaven. So let me just leave it there.
Okay.
Let me just leave it there. But hey, God created all these creatures, mm-hmm. and God loves them. And,
yes.
You know, in Isaiah, it does say that, the lamb will be able to dwell together with the, mm-hmm. With the lion. And so,
yes.
Yeah, but, while we are still on this side of heaven, I love them from a distance. And, that's all I can say.
Thank you, Fabiana. Now I appreciate that, because you know, I know a lot of people have pets. Even here in Australia, I looked up the common name for dogs is called Luna or Daisy. Mm. And the reason why I wanted to begin with that is just because I was speaking with someone. I won't reveal their identity, but they said, "Look, if I ever had a pet, I would want to have a snake." And I was like, wow, what? Really? Get a snake? No way. As a pet in your home? Man, what happens if the glass breaks? You know, what is... Oh, I don't know.
Lord have mercy. On this one, I have to respond.
I'm afraid. Thank you, Fabi. And the reason being is because I looked up this news article, and the news article was about this snake that gave birth to 14 babies after living alone for nearly a decade. This happened in just this year, and it's a Brazilian rainbow boa in England, mm-hmm. That went through a process called asexual reproduction called parthenogenesis. Now you're probably wondering, what in the world is that? And the thing is, they actually gave this Brazilian rainbow boa a name, and they called it Ronaldo.
Oh,
now,
wow.
When people think of Ronaldo, they think, you know, like they're thinking of soccer.
Oh, yeah.
But they gave this big Brazilian rainbow boa, 6 foot, the name Ronaldo. Now, I want to read the, and it's very interesting because it pertains to our topic. Ronaldo was a 6 foot Brazilian rainbow boa kept at a school in England. And it was thought to be a male until the snake gave birth to 14 babies last month.
Whoa.
And the boa had not had any contact with any other snake for nearly a decade. They found out that it was actually a female. So she appeared to have undergone a natural process of asexual reproduction called parthenogenesis. Now, for those who don't know what parthenogenesis, it's made up of two Greek words, parthenos and genesis, which literally means in Greek, virgin birth.
Wow.
And it is a pet in school.
Oh no.
There's another animal at school.
Oh no.
And so the school said that, this is the third documented case of this type of birth that it is aware of from a Brazilian rainbow boa in captivity. Fabiano, I just found it really interesting. Hey, this idea of how this is one of the animals that actually have given birth, but it didn't have any. Yeah, it didn't have any for our parents who are listening. Maybe I'll use a euphemism.
Yes.
Instead of using the S word, it is that it didn't have any male plow in its vineyard. If that's a better euphemism.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so parthenogenesis, the idea that because this female Brazilian rainbow boa didn't have any relations with any male, but yet it was able to give birth to 14 babies.
Wow.
And so, Fabiana, when I saw this, I was like, wow, people were like probably thinking, wow, this is impossible. This Man, can't happen.
Even the thought of it kind of gives me some shivers, but no, you're right.
And that's what people were saying on the news article as well. They said like, this was a miracle birth, you know, and also says that though some snakes and other animals, including crocodiles and honeybees, have been known to produce offsprings asexually.
Wow.
This is not, you know, some impossible event. We find that it happens with certain animals. Mm. Fabiano, like, what are you? I hear some of the pathos in your voice when you hear about this news article, but people think that this is just like impossible in the animal realm. Mm. But we know that in our question today, we'll look at kind of the human side of things as well.
Yes.
But like, what are your thoughts just generally, just from hearing this news article of this school, having this boa in there and they called it Ronaldo? Why couldn't they call it Messi?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. All my all time favorite soccer players. Mm-hmm. Why would they use those names? But hey, the first thing that comes to my mind is Hebrews chapter 11.
Mm.
Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. Did you hear that word? Mm. Evidence of things not seen. Mm. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so, friends, many a times people struggle to believe, simply because certain things, as they claim anyway, they say, you know, certain things have not been seen in our natural world. Mm. Oh, and you know, they say, you know, this can't happen, that can't happen. Well, this right here, which you have just shared, is one of those things that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Right? And so, if we're going to believe things just simply because we've seen it, we've tested it, and we've observed it, well, friends, have you ever seen air?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen gravity? Right? Mm. I believe you believe in those things. There's a lot of things which we believe in, though we have never seen them or tested them. And this is once again an interesting article that just highlights the fact that, what we think is impossible could probably, you know, happen.
Wow.
And so, it's quite interesting. So when it comes to faith, every single one of us, you, dear friend who is listening, you are a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. Even though you may not profess the name of Christ, right? Or even though you may not believe in a God, you are still a person of faith. Even if you believe that this world came into existence by a big bang, well, you have faith. In fact, a faith that is greater than mine, because you believe that nothing can bring into existence something.
Yeah.
And so even if you believe that there was helium and nitrogen there, well, who placed it there? You see, you're still going from nothing. But, you know, so it is quite interesting, this story. It just, once again, stretches our imagination and our thinking to say that eye has not seen and ear has not heard other realities and other things that are actually there and that are possible. Mm. And so, what an interesting discovery.
Wow. Now, thank you, Fabiano. And I pray that as we go through our lesson that, you know, this lesson may increase your faith as well.
Mm.
And so, please continue to stay with us. We're going to say a word of prayer and then we're going to go into our program with our first song. So please pray with us. Mm. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, that you are the God of the impossible. And, Father, that, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please you. And so we ask that you may be with us throughout our program, and may our listeners be blessed because they came in contact with Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist
Think
Corporate.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his love. that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His love, His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His love, His love that brought us through. For as high
deliverance for that short song, beautiful. Think about His love, friends. And so we pray that as we go throughout our program, that the love of God may fall afresh upon you, and you may recognize that He loved you before you loved Him. And that's what the Bible says in 1 John 4:19. It says we love Him because He first loved us. And how much more can we experience the love of God than through the incarnation of Christ? And during this season as well, we're reminded that Jesus did come to this earth, and we know that He is coming again.
Yes.
And so if you're listening, wherever you are listening from, whether you're driving home or whether you're in your home and you know you have the app open, you just want to welcome you. You're listening to Faith of Them Drive Time Big Q&A, and I am Finn Powell, your host, and I am with Fabiano Nyonkuru. Thank you, brother. I know every week, you know, we do an emphasis on our last name.
And, yes, like Philip Power. Oh, brother, we need some power.
Oh, amen. Yeah. And we know that we friends, we can only find power in the Word of God. And so we pray that if you have your Bibles with you, please open it. Our theme this week is entitled, What is Christmas All About? Mm. However, for our topic today, we'll be focusing on the question, can I accept a virgin birth? Mm. And Fabiano, this is a really big question.
Yes.
Because whether you're religious or whether you're not religious, it's a question that people have often, you know, really scrutinized, because when they think of the question, like logically, it just seems impossible.
Yes.
And people like they want things to be logical.
Mm.
But the thing is, I don't want to take away your thunder, but,
okay.
but sometimes, you know, when you read the Bible and there are many things, that just, yeah, like they don't add up. It doesn't seem logical, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like when you think of, Joshua and them walking around a city seven times, it just, what were you doing? Like, how can walls fall when you're walking around?
Oh, yes.
There's so many different things that you can kind of point to.
Mm-hmm.
But in our lesson today, I want you to just illuminate our minds in this subject.
Yes.
Can I accept a virgin birth?
Yes. No, that's a very good question. And, friends, you know, around this time of the year, everyone all around the world, well, most people, let me just put it that way, all around the world, they are listening to Christmas carols, they are going shopping, they are celebrating. And if you're a person who does not regularly go to church, you are probably going to go to church to listen to some Christmas carols and to pray with others. If you're a person who does not believe in God at all and finds Christmas to be nonsense, still, this time is still special in the sense that you feel that there's something different about this time of the year. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, all around the world, people are celebrating. And what is it that they're celebrating? They're celebrating the first advent of Christ.
Mm.
Now, friends, imagine this. How can you have the whole world almost be duped?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just let it sink in for a minute. Truly something happened in the first century.
Mm.
Now, I'll be the first one to confess and to say that, hey, I do believe that Christmas is of a pagan origin. Okay. Mm. I personally, you won't find me with a Christmas tree. But nevertheless, I do believe that Jesus did come on this earth. And what we're about to study, we will discover as to whether we can believe in the virgin birth or not. But regardless of where we sit on this question, Jesus did come. Mm. And, you know, the subject won't get into the evidences for that. But rather, we're going to go deeper, much deeper, onto the issue of the virgin birth, because really that is a contentious issue, and many people have asked a lot of questions, especially on this very subject. And I do believe that what we're about to discover also is so fundamental to the Christian faith and belief. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. I'm going to ask Fine to read it for me. I just want to set the stage to where we're heading, and then we'll raise a few questions together. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25.
The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Mm. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Mm. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."
Right.
Verse 22 says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Yes.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus."
Yes. Friends, this is really the ground of which we're going to travel. We're just going to look at one more other passage. Once again, Pastor Fina, if you can help us here, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Now, same story, but this time from Dr. Luke, who was a very educated man, and he wrote an account of what happened and what Jesus did in the first century. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38.
And the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also so that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God.
Wow.
And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37 says, For with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
All right. Well, that's my answer to the question. Why do I say that?
Brother.
The Bible is clear. With God, nothing is impossible.
Yes.
Oh, friends. I mean, we don't need to beat around the bush and, you know, try to give excuses for what we believe. It is biblical. With God, all things are possible. Here's Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth in her old age. She conceived.
Yep.
Here's Sarah. Sarah and Abraham. Another miracle, right? We could talk about miracles after miracles, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Even Mary herself was stunned. She was like, "What? How is this possible?"
Yeah.
Right? The angel says, "Hey, with God, all is possible." Right now, you're listening, friend. You think, "Oh man, I'm carrying a load, a burden in my life, and it seems like I cannot do anything in my own life." Well, with God, all is possible.
Yes.
Right? Especially in this day and age, we are faced with so many things. Whether it be financial crisis, you know, with the cost of living, whether it be the challenges of spirituality. I mean, right now in the U.S., you look at what's happening in the U.S., you can tell that definitely this world cannot continue as it is. But friends, with God, all things are possible. And so, friends, we're going back to Matthew in verse 23. The author there, a Jewish author, he said that apparently what was about to happen and the virgin who was about to give birth, that was a fulfillment of prophecy. And what is prophecy? It is a foretelling of the future. And so she's quoting Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, which says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And so this which was about to happen was already prophesied. Right? So it's not like something just happened out of blue. It was already prophesied. And if the Jewish community had been studying carefully the scriptures, if you, my friend, have been studying carefully the scriptures, it was already prophesied. Now, you know, in a debate about his origin, the Jewish leaders taunted Jesus. In John chapter 8 verse 41, they taunted him with the following words. Can we read John chapter 8 verse 41, please? John chapter 8 verse 41.
The Bible says there, John 8:41, it says, "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God."
What were they implying? That Jesus was born of fornication.
Wow. That's crazy.
That is unbelievable.
That's crazy. And the thing is, and Fabiana, sorry to interject here, it's just because, you know, like from face value, that's a legitimate, like, it's kind of very derogatory, but it is a legitimate, cause the thing is, you know, if, like, for example, let's say, you know, a woman came to you and said, "Look, I'm pregnant, but, you know, I knew no man." Like the first thing in any man's mind or any woman's mind is, "This lady is crazy."
Oh yeah.
There is no way in the world that she can not get impregnated without having some relation with another man. But the thing is, you know, growing up in this culture as well, you can imagine the stigma that was associated with Mary and for Jesus to be growing up. And, you know, the thing is, I remember Fabiana when I was in high school,
right,
that, I never got detention. Hey, but when I did get
detention, you've always been a good boy.
Apparently. Oh my, I have. The first time I got detention was in year 12. But the thing is, the only reason was because in my class, I had one of my class friends, we were talking about something, and then all of a sudden he said, "Your mama." And straight away, I got angry.
No
one says anything about my mom or my father. Yeah. But the thing is here, you find that when they couldn't find any fault with Jesus, they said, "Jesus, your daddy." And the thing is, they started to make things personal. And so they attacked Jesus in the sense that, you know, they was like, "This guy, you're born of fornication. Yeah. Our father is God."
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry. It's sorry to interject. The thing is that, Jesus, he actually had this stigma associated with him throughout his earthly ministry. And it's crazy because, man, this guy, he was God in the flesh. He came to save them, but they viewed him in a different sense.
Now, William G. Johnson, an STA author, he says that apparently there were some rumors to say that maybe Mary had gone impregnated by a Roman soldier. And so they were making up all these theories. And so Joseph, mm-hmm. you know, had, you know, sought to even put her away privately.
Yes.
Mm. So even he, you know, was questioning until when the angel would come and say, hey, what are you trying to do? This is legitimate. So, you know, I wish we had time, but I want to quickly just go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because this what happened is a miracle. Mm. And I just want to remind people what a miracle is.
Mm.
Okay. Time doesn't do justice, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
We need to go back, just take a step back and talk about miracles. So miracles technically are not human acts or human derived events. They are called miracles because they came about outside of human involvement.
Mm.
Very important for us to understand this. Miracles can come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Satan can also perform miracles. Mm. When they come from Satan, they are mostly a counterfeit. All right.
Mm.
But miracles that are genuine, that come from God, usually are in harmony with scripture. And here we have just heard that what happened to Mary was a fulfillment of prophecy.
Yes.
And only that, an angel appeared to her and to Joseph to confirm that. And so we could go on and on. We could look at more than 300 prophecies that predicted about the coming of the Son of Man and how he would come and the manner in which he would come. And you find that truly this was a fulfillment of prophecy. So prophecy is powerful, my friends, when it comes to biblical perspective on this very subject and miracles. It's good to have that understanding. And if you truly do believe in miracles, like what Jesus performed when he was here on earth, then, which he performed about 35 miracles, at least the ones that are recorded. But we know that the book of John says that he did even more other things. So friends, if we believe in miracles, then, and if we believe in God and trust his word, then definitely this is possible.
Yeah.
And so, friends, it is so important for us to understand that, what happened here, yes, was outside of ordinary. Now you may say, well, miracles. Okay. Let me tell you what miracles we find in scripture. Not even just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament. The creation account itself is a miracle, right? God spoke and it came into existence.
Yes.
When I was studying at Avondale, now called Avondale University, I took a class, which was dealing with the conflict between science and theology. And I remember, looking at a subject about, carbon dating and how they use this carbon dating method to find out how old the earth is and all that. Man, I remember thinking to myself, you know, God just gave me this conviction. And I said, you know what? God spoke things into existence. So he spoke the trees into existence.
Yes.
So that way a human being will look at it and say, wait a minute, this has been here for millions of years. No way. You know, Adam and Eve, he came as an adult. So the creation account was a miracle. What about the flood? The flood was a miracle. What about when God confused the languages of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11? That was a miracle. You know, we could go on and on. Sarah's conception. We could go on and on. Lot's, our wife being transformed, into the pillar of salt. That was a miracle. The burning bush. So we could go on and on. The plagues in Egypt, our friends. If we had time. So miracles were there in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and these are legitimate miracles. And so when it comes to the virgin birth, we have a solid foundation really to base our theology.
Wow, Fabiano. And I was just going to add to that as well, is that, friends, your life is a miracle.
Amen.
You know, when you go to sleep tonight and every other night, you have to explain to me how in the world the Lord, if you believe in a higher power, how the higher power keeps your heart beating without you knowing. And then for you to wake up and just, you were sleeping for 7-8 hours.
Yes.
And your heart was still beating. How do you explain that? That's a miracle.
Because usually, scientifically, you need some kind of electricity, right? To keep the machine going. But the heart pumps without a machine, right? Without electricity. Isn't that interesting?
And so, friends, look, you are a miracle.
Amen.
And the thing is, God brought you into existence because ultimately, you were needed. He loves you. And the thing is, even if your life may be off track right now, and you may not even have family to celebrate this week, friends, I just want to let you know that your life is a miracle, and that we serve a miracle worker who's able to work miracles in our lives.
Amen.
And so look, friends, we're going to go to a break right now, and we'll come back very soon, but stay with us because we have a free giveaway. Thank you. See you soon.
No radio reception? No problem. download the free Faith FM app onto your phone or tablet to listen anytime, anywhere.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth living just because He lives.
God sent His Son.
So much to Caleb and Kelsey. A beautiful hymn there, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow, friends. And welcome back to Faith FM Drive Time Q&A. And before we go back into our question, dear friend, I just want to offer you a free gift, and it's for free, but there's a condition. Just like salvation is free, but there's a condition. Mm-hmm. Is that this free giveaway, it's free, but the condition is you need to text in this code word. And the code word, before I give it to you, I want to just share with you this book. It's by David Marshall, and it's entitled Knowing Jesus, Knowing God. Mm. And friends, you remember Jesus said in John 17, 3, you know, and this is life eternal, that they might know you, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, to know the Father and to know Jesus whom you have sent. Mm. And this book, it talks all about Jesus. It reveals His personality, the reasons why we can believe in Him and depend on Him, and how we can accept His salvation.
Amen.
And so by knowing Jesus, friends, we can know God. And when we know God, the miracle at the heart of the Christian gospel begins in our lives. And so if you like this free giveaway, all you have to do is text in the code word. Here it is, SA244. SA244, text that to 0488-80811, and you'll be able to get your free giveaway. And, you just
send it in, and you get someone to come and drop it off. And if you are blessed, you get a presenter come and drop it off at your house as well. Mm. And so, yeah, if you're a Faith FM listener and you live in the area here, we would love to meet you. Hey, we're currently ministering here in the southeast at the four churches: Narrowcourt SDA, and also Mount Gambier SDA, and Millicent SDA, and also Rendlesham SDA Church as well. Mm. And so, if you live in the southeast area, we would love to meet you and greet you. But for now, the code word is SA244 to 0488-808-11. And so this theme that we've been going over is, you know, what is Christmas all about? And our topic, however, for today is, can I accept a virgin birth? And so, Fabiana, just before the break, you know, we read these texts from the Bible that that ultimately the reason why we can believe is because the word said it.
Oh yes.
And you were talking about miracles and how, you know, ultimately our life is a miracle. Every breath we take is a miracle from God.
Amen.
And He has given us enough evidence in His word for us to place our trust and faith in. But is there anything more that, you know, maybe, you know, if someone's asking, you know, they believe in miracles, but they can't believe in the miracle of the virgin birth. Yeah. Is there anything else you can say about this?
Yes. Well, let me say this first and foremost. The author, a theologian by the name of William G. Johnson, mm-hmm. he also did say that the virgin birth and the resurrection are bookends.
Okay.
Bookends, right, to the Messiahship theology. Mm. You see, Christ came on earth through a miracle birth,
mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as the incarnation. And he also became victorious and opened a way for us to be saved. The redemption was brought forth through the resurrection. Mm. And that was a miracle in itself as well.
Yeah.
And so how can you believe in one and not believe in another?
Yeah.
I mean, unless if you're just handpicking, and that will be dangerous anyway. Mm. And so when it comes to the resurrection, I just want to quickly riff on this a bit. You know, there's a strong indirect evidence for the resurrection of Christ.
Yeah.
And that is the impact that he had on the disciples,
mm.
right? If you remember, these were a group of dispirited, frightened men, right, who could not even understand or make sense of what had happened mm-hmm. at that time when Jesus died. And but when Jesus rose from the dead, all of a sudden they became alive. Mm-hmm. And they were able to proclaim. And today, even in this week, my friend, wherever you go, you're going to be hearing Christmas carols.
Yep.
Whether you believe it or not, whichever opinions you have about Christ, He definitely was the man whom the Western civilization was, and the man whose principles the Western civilization is built upon. And every year he's remembered. Mm-hmm. And every year, my friend, whether you like it or not. And so it was the crowning vindication of Jesus' messiahship. You can read about it in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And I would like us to actually turn to Romans chapter 1. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Briefly, then we'll quickly come to the virgin birth. Romans, please. You know, we could look into a lot about the resurrection, like the amount of time that is even talked about in the Old Testament. But let's quickly come to Romans chapter 1.
Yep.
Can you please read verse 3 and verse 4?
Okay, Romans 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Wow.
Hmm.
That is packed.
Yeah.
So he came, according to the testimony of Paul, he came on earth through the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He rose from the dead through the work of the Holy Spirit. So both are a miracle. Mm-hmm. The incarnation and the resurrection. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Wow. And so here's another. In John 3:34, it says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. I think I got the wrong text there, but this was... here's the point. Here's the point I wanted to make. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Oh, yes. So the point I wanted to make is this. It just came back to my mind. When the Holy Spirit works, he has no limitation.
Hmm.
God is not limited, right? He's the omnipotent God.
Hmm.
So I understand that especially some liberal scholars may be hesitant mm-hmm. to give God the credit that he deserves, mm-hmm. that he's able to do the impossible. But friends, there's no other way you can look at it. The resurrection is another evidence that definitely the virgin birth is possible.
Wow.
And so we could go on and on, but I'm conscious of the fact that I need to quickly come to the topic now. Mm. Okay. And maybe answer the question more directly now. Because you see, many theologians today, and sadly some pastors have abandoned that teaching.
Yeah.
And they do that because once again, many of them with a, method of interpreting scripture, which some people call hermeneutics, that's a theological term, have adopted what we call a higher criticism approach. And so when you adopt that kind of an approach to studying scripture, what you are pretty much doing, you are dissecting scripture and you're determining what you think is right and probable and acceptable and what is not. So in other words, your human judgment is being imposed upon scripture. And so that is the avenue and the road by which many have taken, and as a result have come to reject the virgin birth. But if we take scripture, if we take prophecy, as we have seen, if we look at miracles that have happened ever since, you know, Genesis onwards, then definitely the virgin birth can be accepted. And so friends, many people, like I said, many people have wrestled with this question, but you'll find that many of those who have adopted the higher criticism method are the ones who tend to fall in that category. But if you take the Bible as an authoritative book, word of God, then you can definitely accept the virgin birth. Now, let me also quote a theologian who wrote in a periodical called Review and Herald. This was published in 1904, June the 2nd. He says, "Take away the divinity of Christ and there is no power in his life and death to make reconciliation." Think about that. It's to persuade a professedly Christian, that Christ's work was purely human and therefore fruitless will be a masterstroke of satanic policy. It will give the professing church over into his hands to become Babylon, the synagogue of Satan. The mother of harlots will greet another daughter then. So everything, my friends, stands or falls on the incarnation and the resurrection of Christ. And so if we believe that Jesus was both divine and human at the same time, then we can, then this has huge theological implication as well as other ramifications in our own personal lives. And so I want us to go back to Luke chapter 1 verse 38, and then I'll close with a statement. Luke chapter 1 38, we can read about it. We can read that together. Yep. Luke chapter 1 38. Here it comes. Here's what the Bible says. "Then Mary said, Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, this is the point, my friend. If we believe the word of God, faith cometh by what?
By hearing.
Hearing what?
By the word of God.
The word of God.
Romans 10:17.
Amen. Now, Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word."
Wow. Sorry, sometimes right? Just to blow your mind. Because this is Mary speaking.
Yes.
And the thing is, like, it would have been illogical to her.
Oh, yeah.
But yet, I love the faith you find in these words because she was willing to trust the word of God only.
Amen.
Even when it disagreed with her logic, it just doesn't make sense, Lord.
Amen.
But, you know, according to your word.
Oh, man. Friends. Faith comes when we take God's word and trust and believe that God's word is able to do that which he says.
Amen. Amen.
And so if we cannot accept this by faith, oh, friends, then we are probably standing, we are standing on shaky ground, honestly.
But Fabiano, like, it doesn't make sense for me if we can believe this boa in England that it can do that. Like, if you were here at the beginning, we shared this story about this boa who was able to give a birth, virgin birth. We believe that, but when it comes to Jesus, no, it can't be a virgin birth. And by the way, even Muslims, they believe in a virgin birth, that Jesus was born by a virgin as well.
Yes.
through Miriam.
Oh,
like,
yes.
For them, is, for the Bible is Mary, but for them, it's Miriam. Mm. And so the thing is, like, ultimately, we understand Muslims, they're on board.
Yes.
We have Christians on board. But the thing is, if you don't want to believe, hey, you're welcome to. But if you can believe in a boa, then, hey, like, you have to be consistent, right? We have to be
definitely,
consistent.
Definitely. And so, yes. So, friends, this is key, and this is very important. From the very beginning, let's say Christendom, as we have outlined before, Jesus' incarnation was attacked by the Jews at that time. You find that even in the centuries that followed, there were groups here and there that questioned the virgin birth narrative, but you find that the disciples believed it.
Mm-hmm.
The early church believed it.
Yeah.
What is known in Christian history as the period of the church fathers, those men of faith at that time also believed in the virgin birth.
Mm.
And so you find that in history that every person who took this seriously actually came to believe in the virgin birth. And so we could go on and on, but friends, but all I would like to maybe add on at the moment is the fact that when it comes to this issue of the virgin birth, everything stands or falls depending on whether you are willing to actually exercise faith in Christ as well as his word. And, you know, some theologians have said that when we look into history, that you find that people like Justin Martyr, Ignatius, and others were defending this same subject even in the second century. So it is nothing new. And so you find that people like Marcion, for example, who was a Gnostic, contended that Christ descended directly from heaven. He refused this. So it is nothing new.
Wow.
And you find that the Council of Nicaea had to then, because it became such an issue, they had to then convene a committee to study this. And in AD 325, they affirmed that Jesus was truly God. And then at the Council of Chalcedon in AD 451, stated that Jesus was the same was fully human and was fully divine. And so this is a belief that we have believed as Christians for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been attested both in Matthew, as we have seen, and in the book of Luke, and many other faithful believers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that we can have a strong reason to believe in the virgin birth. And beyond that, my friend, as it has been stated already, it's also a matter of faith, because we have seen throughout scripture from the book of Genesis that God is able to do the impossible.
Yeah.
And so, around this time of the year, many of you, no doubt, will be celebrating and will be catching up with friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And though the festive itself has pagan origins, I had to emphasize that once again. But hey, as someone has told me before, it's all about Jesus, okay? Well, if you believe, then that's great. And let it be about Jesus. So let it, I pray that it'll drive you back to scripture and get to know Jesus and him personally. And have a closer walk with him. Oh, friends, I believe that it is so important. It's so crucial to us that we understand this. And you know, in John, I believe it is John chapter 14:27, where Jesus said, you know, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Therefore, do not be afraid. And so, friends, in this time and age where many people are asking questions, or you may be asking questions yourself, Jesus has left us that promise. And I do pray that you would also claim that promise. The Jesus of the Bible, of whom many people are talking about today, is the one who has promised that he has brought us peace.
Mm.
And he said, therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Mm.
And so, friends, you know, there are so many things that are troubling us today.
Mm.
And many of us, you know, are so concerned about what tomorrow may hold. But Jesus says that he has brought, in fact, in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the thief cometh but to steal and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have life abundant.
Yeah.
And so Jesus has brought that abundant life.
Amen.
So if you accept Jesus, if you don't just, you know, I pray that you not just go through the emotions and that you just, I guess, go on the surface level with whatever it is that you may be doing at this time of the year.
Yeah.
I pray that you will actually take time to get to know Jesus personally. I highly recommend a book called The Desire of All Ages.
Wow.
The Desire of Ages, yeah. A book written by a prolific writer. In fact, she is the most translated woman in U.S. history, and it could actually be in the world history. I need to double check on this. A prolific writer. Her name is Ellen White. She's written the book Desire of Ages.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend that book because it focuses on Christ and Christ alone. And you will find him to be altogether lovely.
Amen.
A God who cares about each one of us, a God who has come to this world. You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, and he has come to reverse that. And he has come to give us the life that is abundant. And so, friend, I pray that you have faith in God, that you have faith in what Jesus has come to do for us, that you have faith in the Word of God, and that you would have faith in that this same Word is able to transform your life and turn your life around for the better. And so that is what we learn, friends, if we accept the incarnation, that Jesus is God indeed.
Wow. Fabiano, you took it home, brother.
Praise God. Praise God.
No, yeah, thank you so much for sharing here. And we just want to, remind our listeners, you know, if you have any questions, please text in, or you want to engage with us, have a dialogue as well. We're more than willing to meet and to talk. But we just pray that during this time, as was mentioned, that you may be reminded that Jesus left heaven to come to this earth to die for yours and my sin. And that he loves you with an everlasting love. And as Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And so we pray that the peace that passes all understanding may come into your hearts, and that you may be drawn closer to him. And so thank you, Fabiana, for answering this difficult question. But we pray that our listeners may have been blessed and encouraged as well.
Praise God.
And so look, friends, tomorrow we have Nick and Tracy. They'll be presenting the topic, is the biblical story of Christ's birth still relevant today? And if you want to learn more, just, you know, tune in tomorrow and you can listen to that as well. Friends, look, before we finish, we just want to say a word of prayer and then we'll end. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed news, the good news, Father, that Jesus was born of a virgin, and that he came to die for our sins, and that he works miracles every day of our lives, and that we can trust him. We pray, Father, that the lessons that we have learned, that he has drawn us closer to Jesus, and that it may have deepened our faith in him as well. And Lord, may we be just like Mary, who said, Lord, according to your word, so may it be. And so, Lord, I just pray that you may bless our listeners and guide us in the way in which we should go. And when you come, Father, may you remember us. This is our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, friends. God bless you. Maranatha. Jesus is coming again.
And make sure you get that free giveaway.
God bless.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.